Technologies to manage your project. One of the key elements of any project is figuring out the best way to organize yourself and your logistics. So, let's talk a little bit about file names and file structures and file types. One of the quickest mistakes, or one of the biggest mistakes I made when I first started running digital projects, was not understanding that I need to have a system in place for how I was going to categorize and title and store all of the files that I would be producing. So here's a couple of hints and tips about dealing with files, Word documents, and the like. You want to use machine-readable file names. And by machine-readable, I mean file names that can be read literally by a computer. Machine-readable languages hate periods and special characters. So I did not do this when I first started and always forget to do this now. Using an underscore is a good idea. You'll notice that there's a formula that I have followed in my file name for here. I'm somebody who's been at different centers, so the first sort of category that I use in any file name is the center name. So MITH, M-I-T-H. I used to use CDH, which was the Center for Digital Humanities. Before that, I used iChaz. What that means then is at any given moment when I use a finder or a search in my system, I could pull every file that relates to that organization. This is super important for projects because at some point you're going to want to dump all your files onto a CD or into an archive or send them to your library. And this is the quickest way to know you've got every file related to that project. So when you figure out a project title, and we'll talk about that when we get to publicity, you want to think about something that could be turned into an acronym or a shortened title that could be super usable for your project. So in this case, this is MITH, my center. It is the name of the project that this is, which is topic modeling. It's the workshop that you guys saw the abstract for yesterday. And in this case, the underscore is narrative. So this is a piece of a grant element that we are writing. So this is MITH topic modeling narrative. There are pieces, for example, like bios, MITH topic modeling bios, MITH topic modeling budget, MITH topic modeling data. These titles, bios, narratives, budget, CV, justification, etc., almost all of those are the exact titles you have to use in an NEH or an NSF grant on their file names. It's super useful if you start getting used to now doing standardized titles. Because what you're going to find is if you stick with the same project over any amount of time, you're going to end up with 35 narrative files. And so you want to make sure you know which ones go with which things. Which is why you want to keep individual files on things. So I keep an individual file for every element that I write on a grant, but I also keep an aggregate file like a PDF or a folder of everything together. What this allows me to do then is if somebody comes to me and says, I need to see all the materials that you wrote for X grant or for this project when you first started, I literally can just copy and paste a folder and drop it in an email, and they get every single document that comes with that. So MITH topic modeling press release, MITH topic modeling report. You name it, the entire thing is in a file folder. The other thing you want to do, and this is a key element for everyone in this room, how many times have you gotten a document and you're editing with other people or you're sending it around to other people and you have no clue which version it was or what date somebody edited from? Simon and I wrote a 290-page challenge grant together before the advent of a good Google Doc system. And we had 13 faculty who would send us the same, like try and send us a file with the same file name, working from different versions. Word likes to combine documents, but it ain't that good. So we encourage you to use a versioning and a dating system or a dating system. So in this case, narrative version 1.2. So this is the first draft of the narrative. This is the second revision on that draft of that narrative. Or you can use dates. Some people like dates better than whatever. I tend to avoid dates just because I can get that information out of the file metadata, so I can always right-click and view and know what date that file originated on. The reason why we like the point system or the underscore system is oftentimes you'll need to roll back and find that language you wrote in a particular version of something that you discarded 6 months ago. And you don't want to have to just rewrite it. So if you use versioning, you can go, oh, that was in version 1.2. I'll go back to 1.2 and get that language out and use it again in version 3.4.
One of the things we do, too, is sometimes we have issues with who has to review stuff. If you want it, we'll put initials of who has reviewed.
Yep.
As well.
Definitely. So you can use initials. You can use that. The other thing that some people do is include like final as the, like, once it's actually reached the stage where you've agreed and signed off on it, you put final in your version. And then I know you never want to see another revision again. So when you feel like you've done everything you can, stick in the word final or put it at the top of the document. And I know you're done. And I take you out of the loop of reviewing and editing. Yeah.
When you mentioned folders earlier, do you make one folder for each version, or do you make one?
I'm gonna show you my obsessive compulsive disorder. All right, so let me actually fast forward to that. So this is a standard organization for how I run my hard drive, and this actually corresponds to my cloud structure as well. So when things are going well, all the file names in Google are the same as the file names here. Although sometimes I'm lazy and don't always do that. So what you're looking at here is basically my hard drive for a portion of my myth folder. So, and I'll do some live navigation for this at the end. This basically is how I differentiate my projects. Projects that are underneath current are projects that have received successful grants and funding that are currently in development. So these can be faculty fellowships where we've accepted them as a fellow and they're currently working. It can also be things like F21, for example. That's a project that hasn't received external funding yet. It just did. But it was a project that had gone to review, but we were actually already doing consulting on the project, even though we were waiting to find out if we got money. So it's in my current folder because I know when I sit down to have a project team meeting with MIST staff that I should ask about F21 and ask what's going on, who did that meeting, what do you have to tell us? I differentiate those from pending, which is where projects go to either never move out or to go back to. Pending are projects that may be out for review, but we're not doing any active work on it. So something where we haven't actually decided, you know, if the money comes in, we're going to do it. If the money doesn't come in, we'll probably just, you know, leave it alone. But it's also actually where I move projects when they are no longer in development. They go back to the pending folder. There is no finished folder on my hard drive because projects tend to come back up. Very rarely do they ever actually end for real and never be seen again. So what you're looking at, and I can talk a little bit about why my structure is the way it is. I use acronyms for a lot of things just because it makes it a lot easier for me. I also use, for example, I have two folders, and you can see one of them here, the other one's farther lower. I have a CV folder that is every single CV for every single partner that we deal with, a person that I have on any of these other folders. I keep one CV folder so that at any given moment when somebody says to me, hey, do you know if we've got a CV from Joe Blow who's on this other project that I need to send in for something, all I do is open my CV folder and see if it's there. I have a templates folder, and you guys saw the templates thing that I sent you guys is basically exactly what my templates folder looks like. That is blank versions of all the standard ways I produce information. Let's see, what else? I think that's good for that one.
Yeah. Just one question about this.
Yeah.
Just having seen this in multiple meetings, I'm working with another director on just this kind of standardized filing name so that we're sharing and so forth. When we come to meetings, do you ever print things out for people? Because I notice that I go into meetings and sometimes people don't have their computer or they tend not to look at it or what have you.
Generally speaking, how I deal with it is this. You get a printed agenda, and I know by personality whether there's somebody who's going to have their print with them or not. Usually you can tell that pretty much five minutes into your partnership with them if they're going to be the person that shows up with their materials ready to go or not. So usually what I will do for every meeting is print up at least one copy of whatever is live and under discussion for everyone to have. And then if possible, like our copier's right there, I just step out and make a copy if I need to. But I am a little hardcore, and I tell people that if you don't come to the meeting prepared, why did you come? Like, you're wasting our time. It's a collaboration partnership thing. Like, if you haven't read the material and you're going to freeball it in the meeting, you feel free, but if you start wanting to ask questions of things you should have already read, we're going to shut you down really quickly because you should come prepared. We only get 45 minutes to do this, and we got lots to do. All right, so let's go back to tracking. So one of the easiest ways actually to think about also how you begin planning and doing your project is that you really don't need some sort of massive, you know, system that's all specialized for how you manage your project. For our lightweight projects, or projects what I call event-based projects at Myth, where we're not doing any coding or development work in any huge, massive part, I actually use a simple Google Drive spreadsheet. So this is for topic modeling. What you're looking at is these are speakers that we invited to come, and I capture from them last name, first name, email, the particular area that they were going to be presenting on for the workshop. I track things like, I sent them an email to invite them on this date. They accepted on that date, and on this date I sent the confirmation letter. Because you'll find every once in a while you get one of those people who says, what? When did I say yes to that again? And you have to go back into your email queue and find the email where they said yes. So I keep a little list, a little quick spreadsheet of that. I also keep, for the rest of the list, these are issues having to deal with our business office, because our business office, until December, was not working in our system. I want to know, has your shuttle arrangement been made? Has your hotel and airfare been made? If I need a talk title, yes, I got a talk title from them. I mark that down. I put that in the information. This is a sparse sheet because there are so few people. I got to admit it probably wasn't a great one to show you because I didn't take the time to actually do all the things that I normally would. But normally in this talk title column, every single title that they have sent me would be in there. There would also be in the abstract column rather than just a why or a no. It would actually be the actual abstract that they sent me. I extract that from the email and put that directly into that spreadsheet so that at any given time I can sort of pull that up without having to go tracking through the email or the attachment that they sent me. And in my best notes column, Twitter handles. So this is sort of common information that for me as a project manager or as a developer, I need like quick off the top. You know, I need to know who said yes, who said no, what they've committed to, and let's go. So this could be, for example, if you're building a partnership network, it could be your institution is your last name. So you're putting in a partnership with the Smithsonian, American History Museum, the New York Public Library, and whatever. Those would each be aligned here with the name of the contact person, their email, their information, you know, all of this. The nice thing about Google and Google Drive is that this actually sheet is shared with everyone that's working on this project, so they can all see it live at any given time. It's also something where you can attach documents to it. So you can actually hyperlink individual cells to individual documents in Google Drive. So if you wanted people to be able to see the confirmation letter that you'd initially sent out, you can hyperlink that. Questions about Google as a sort of mechanism?
My team uses Dropbox to keep our files because we don't have like a network that we're all on, because we're not all the same institution. So we use Dropbox to handle all of our files, and we do have like a file system. But then we also have Drive because we collaboratively write on Drive.
Yep.
So how? Basically, we then have to have two tools. Is there any other way?
So here's the issue, and we're going to actually talk about this a little bit, but I'll preview it now. There are copyright issues with Drive that do not exist with Dropbox. And by this I mean anything you put into Google Drive, Google has the right to mine and resell on your behalf to anyone they want. So you basically have become a science project for some data analyst scientist by signing on to Google. And that's Google in any form. So if you actually use Google as a search mechanism, they can track you anonymously and provide that data to someone else. Or actually not even anonymously. They got nailed for that a couple years ago. In Dropbox, Dropbox waives the right to copyright. So Dropbox does not keep copies of any of your stuff for their own purposes. They don't sell for advertising. They don't whatever. The problem with both of them, though, and I'm going to be super clear about this, is they rely on data centers that may or may not be functioning at any given moment. So Hurricane Sandy went through and knocked out two Amazon centers and took down a whole host of softwares and services, including Twitter for a while, GitHub for a while, and a whole host of other things. So what I do is this. No matter which cloud service you choose, on a quarterly basis, I go through and download everything onto my hard drive. And then I have, and you'll see it when you walk out there, I have a terabyte or a 3 terabyte drive that every day when I come into work, the first thing I do is plug my computer in and automatically back it up. So I've got a terabyte drive backup on my system. We actually have a backup system here at Myth as well, which is a local file storage that I could use if I want. And then I've got my file system here on my drive. So I'm a little paranoid,
But that's because when I was writing my dissertation, I lost an entire chapter because I had file corruption issues. So I'm a little hyper-paranoid about it.
There's still no good way of collaboratively writing. I guess I'm basically what I'm saying is that there's no good way of doing both of these tasks without cheating.
In terms of the best tool, Google is still going to be your best tool because Google, you can use multiple file types. You can do sort of sharing in Dropbox, but it's not live editing. It's basically you're replacing the versioning of the file constantly. And that bothers a lot of people because if you start editing and then somebody else signs on and starts editing, you don't see the changes live. You only see them when the file resyncs.
An alternative to Dropbox is something called box.net. And they have a more developed versioning system. I've just begun using it. Clemson, but it actually does have it does have some very nice tracking options and allows you to more easily manage all of that. I'm not recommending box.net necessarily. I'm just saying that it is an alternative to Google and to Dropbox that might be worth looking at for some people.
Part of the reason why I like Drive is because we can chat in the document. And it saves the chat logs and sends them through to my email, which means if we talk about something in the chat that I end up reusing, it's there. Yeah.
I was wondering if anyone's used SkyDrive because
it has some of the
tools for collaborating as well as like a lot of the storage possibilities.
Right.
I don't know if anyone's used it or anyone has any experience with it.
I mean, so I've used SkyDrive. I mean, the only issue for me is that SkyDrive has a file limit that's a bit lower than the Drive limit. So with Google Drive, I can link multiple accounts together to create a larger space. With the SkyDrive from Microsoft, I haven't figured out how to do that yet. So I can hit capacity pretty quickly.
You can do that with Dropbox too. More people you invite, the more space you
have. Right. So it's really honestly too just a question of how comfortable you are with things, like which things you're comfortable with. If you're somebody who's super organized about being in a file system, then Dropbox is great. When I switch over to the live view, I'll show you what my Drive looks like. It will frighten most people what Drive can look like when you don't manage it well. And I, generally speaking, only manage my Drive when I'm tired. And so, you know, it's something I do in front of the TV is, like, move things into files and, you know, check where it's supposed to go. So I wanted to talk a little bit about when you break down the file, where this goes. So you guys saw the individual sort of project folders just now. This is a screenshot of what happens when you open up the individual file. So I have, in this case, three sort of segments of activity that have happened. The first segment is draft. That's where all of the raw, ugly files are that I've downloaded from Drive when we wrote that haven't been cleaned up, they haven't been edited, they haven't been standardized, they haven't been combined. It's just, it's ugly. You know, there's spacing issues, font issues, footnote issues, you name it. Those are the files that I work in 90% of the time before the project starts. Once we've signed off on a particular aspect of the file, though, and it's been standardized, so here at Myth we use 12-point font, almost always Arial because it's machine-readable, and what's the other? It's 1-inch margins. NEH has, like, the rules about how every funder's got the rules, and they're all the same rules, so those are the same rules I use whenever we write. And so then I make sure it all works. And I don't have to spend lots of time making sure all the formats and font styles align, which is why I want to kill Trevor two-thirds of the time, because he has this aesthetic issue where he really likes this one particular open source font, and it's not one that Word or Google Drive likes a lot. So it drives me nuts when he sends me stuff, because I have to convert it to make it look like everything else. You'll learn to work around those people. So what happens is when I finalize a file in my draft and everybody's signed off, what I do is I save that as a document in the draft version. So version, let's say it's 3.4 final. That's been finalized. And then I basically create it as a PDF in my final folder. This is basically a stagnant snapshot of what's going to go forward. Okay? This is the moment when you say, this thing has been agreed to by everyone on your team. This is the authorized version. In this case, because this is a project we wrote for a grant, these are the standard titles, obviously, for NEH. We wrote an abstract that we agreed on. We wrote appendices, biographies, budgets, contents, you name it. But the other thing that I did is not just have these individual files. I also had
a sort of amalgamated one file package, which was our submission to NEH. So again, standard file name, myth. In this case, because we had multiple PIs on the project, this was the name of the PI that would go forward with the project. The name of the project, the funder, because this was a project that we considered submitting to two different funders. So this is the NEH package. The competition, Digital Humanities Startup Level 2, PDF is the file type. Okay? So basically what it becomes is a key string for me to go, oh yeah, this was the Digital Humanities 2 grant, not the IMLS grant. Okay? So the more specific you get with your file names, even if it means you create these ugly file names, the easier it is when you get multiple files or you have a project that extends 2, 3, 4 years to go back to things. Yeah?
I have just a query about your file name there, which is the use of periods within the file name.
Yeah, that's where I violate the machine readable thing and always have. And I can tell you what...
My computer tends to reject that.
Yes. It depends on your computer. I will tell you what our staff does to me because they know that it happens. They've written a script that changes all of my periods to underscores so that it's machine readable. And I have to be honest, it's because it's something that I started doing when I was an undergraduate, where at that point I had no idea what machine readable text was, and so it just became a habit. And every once in a while I remember to use the underscore, but usually I'm moving so fast at that point that I still use periods.
So this is an example of do what you say, not you.
Yeah, pretty much.
What is machine readable?
So machine readable text is something that can be created in raw text in a TXT file that every element and every character in it is set up so that a machine could read it. So it doesn't have special fonts, special characters, special issues. What it means is potentially somebody could take all of these things and data mine my files. So you could treat it all as one big bucket of text and run code against it and say, this is what Jen writes about the most. So it's basically best practices of data. If somebody wanted to analyze my life, they could if I was using machine readable text.
Is that different from RDF? Or is it
RDF is an input and output structure to plain text.
Yeah. It can also help if you want to be able to, like in your computer or something, just search file names but not pick up all the hits for all the content.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it actually can be useful that way.
So the underscore would make sure that it stayed with file names?
So if you could search myth underscore as opposed to just myth.
Right.
And you'd only
right.
turn up things which would be myth underscore, which would be your file names.
There's also a handy little tool that has just come out, I guess, a month or a month and a half ago that's awesome called Finder, F-I-N-D-E-R. It's a free extension to your computer that you can put on it that will search simultaneously your hard drive, your Google Drive, your Dropbox, your you name it. They SkyDrive, you sort of name it, they will search it. I had it running until yesterday, and I actually turned it off because my computer's been a little bit weird. But it's probably still there, and I could turn it on and demo for you guys later. It basically runs a complete search on everything that I've told it to look for. And supposedly there were rumors that it's also going to be able to run on your social networking stuff. So, like, if you put things out on your social networking, it might be able to pull stuff in from those as well. It is a handy little tool. For those of you guys who want to do this on the free and open source cheap, so you guys at a low resource place or somebody who's trying to run a project on their own without asking for additional support, a Google group is a great way to get your team started. So these are Google groups that I belong to from the various jobs that I've been in. This is our undergraduate running project, the executive board. So all of the students that are part of the executive board and the faculty and the advisors are all part of that group. I am part of the HathiTrust Research Center group. I was one of the founding members working on the HathiTrust Research Center way back whenever with John Unsworth and those people. We have a myth admin group, which is where all of the myth staff stuff goes in terms of us trying to put everything in one place. And basically what a Google group does is it basically associates all of the specific users and provides them a space with a common email address, a common place to stick files, a chat login so everybody can chat with each other. It's super quick and easy. It's a great way to get started. It also then allows you, like, if you create a new document, you can email it to your user group. So in this case, myth_mishdath@admin@googlegroups.com, and it automatically sends a notification to everyone on your team that there is a new document. So when I go to share files with myth people, I don't actually share them with their individual emails. I share them with myth admin Google group. And then Google Group says, oh, you're an important person in Myth. You get access to it according to the rules that we've set. So you get free access to everything that's in there.
So it's quick, easy, simple. It means you don't have to go through and do what we did yesterday, which is why I said if I was on my game, I should have set up a Google group, because I could have just said project development Google group and y'all would have got an email saying, here you go, here's everything. But I was tired and lazy, and I don't know if I made a note about that. So that's why I missed that. All right. So what about the more complex tool? This is my choice of the best open source tool. It's actually not even open source. The best tool that we use here at Myth, and that I, after three centers, will never leave. This is called Basecamp. Basecamp is a project development tool, project management tool, that allows you to create individual projects that you can then assign individuals, calendars, to-dos. You can post files. You can have chats and commenting and conversations. I'm going to do a live navigation of you guys for this in a second. But what you're looking at basically is a screenshot of what Myth's Basecamp looks like. So these are individual projects that we have running in these cases, as you can see. But we also have projects that are like our design team. So things like our publicity and promotions that are not project related. We have a logistics and business office category. So the things that I need that are business related, like we've got to order more office supplies. That's a Myth project. Like somebody staying on top of our space is a project. We also have a Myth projects, which are where those projects that like are a faint idea in somebody's head that need a little bit of work but don't have a title or don't have a statement yet. That's where those live. Quick, easy, simple.